Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
I've never interviewed a politician in a tavern before. And we went to, they asked me, you know, can you meet the mayor at the Four Moon Tavern in Roscoe Village? And I said, yeah, I know exactly where it is. It's a nice little neighborhood watering hole on Roscoe, 1800 something Roscoe. It's like Roscoe and Ravenswood, basically. A nice little joint. And we were going to sit down and talk about not the super pressing issues of the day, although we did talk about Charlottesville. We did talk about this new world of security in which we're living right now. But the main gist of our conversation, since I cover entertainment for WGN Television, was entertainment in Chicago and things to do in Chicago and new things that there are to do in Chicago to recreate yourself with. That's why we sat down with Mayor Emanuel this week at what turns out is a favorite watering hole of his. So they tell me that, like, this is your bar.
You're my chair, not just my bar.
Wow. That's an honor.
When I came here during the playoffs for the Cubs, and I would sit in this corner, and depending on points, we would do a couple guys here from the from a theater. They'd send shots over. So this is my place.
That back in the state rep days for President Obama, that you guys would come here and have meetings in the back.
Yeah, it's a great. Not only meetings here, this is also Amy and I, when the kids were younger, we used to do Sunday night date nights.
Oh.
And so we'd come here for a burger and stuff like that, just to get away from the kids until they realized we were having a good time, so they wanted to come along.
Right. Spoil it all. But, like, this is really, like, quintessentially Chicago.
It is, totally.
You know, that's which is great, but, like, the vibe is kind of changing a little bit with all these breweries that are opening up around Chicago. That is unprecedented and pretty new.
It's in one way, yes, but you know, Chicago's the first original Michael brewery goes almost back to the 1800s, right. Early 1800s. So it's old and new. And the good news is people are, I think we have more Michael breweries than any other city, except for maybe Portland, Oregon or something like that.
Right.
And it's really taken off as a great small business industry in Chicago, and I want to do what we can to help nurture it, accelerate it, and people know now I want to make this for Chicago, the craft brewery, what wines are for Napa Valley, and have people come in from a tourism perspective, and that's what the whole Friday Night Flights is all about, marketing this.
Yeah, well, I mean, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it, with city of big shoulders and, you know, kind of like the working man's drink.
Exactly.
To, you know, have a couple of brews after work.
Well, this is a classic bar, and the beer drink for after a hot day is a classic drink in Chicago, and I love it.
So talk to me, and tell me what Friday Night Flights is. This has been, like, super successful all summer long so far.
Well, Friday Night Flights is, like, we'll go in different neighborhoods, bring six or seven microbreweries from across the city. You buy one ticket, and you try all the different beers, and it's some musical routines. I mean, you know, somebody's playing a DJ or whatever. And what started off slow has now, we added another night down on the Riverwalk. I think we're going to bring about 15 different beers from around the city and microbreweries. And it's, I think there's another one up on Ravenswood to close off this summer. But all the craft guys love it. And it's built, and it's now all of a sudden started to get a real following going on in Chicago. And it's much more successful in its first year. And we're going to build this, as I said. And eventually, it's going to become a established event. Not eventually. We're going to do it next summer, and we're going to make it an established event in Chicago's kind of summer culture.
Yeah. This kind of ties in with a lot of the things that you've been building for a long time in Chicago to kind of redefine recreation in Chicago. And the City Walk is just the perfect example of that.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that filthy area downtown would ever turn into something so amazing?
Well, this is so here's the thing. Growing up, would we take 2 seconds to look at the river, like cast in this kind of melodic look? Oh, yeah. Not a chance.
Only to see porta potties floating down.
Right. And the, one of the things when we were first originally thinking about it was how long it would take us to people, for the city, to reorient its mind's eye that we had another waterfront. And when you think about it, we thought we had like a 7-year runway. So when we went for the government program, of which the city of Chicago put zero money into this, you had to do a worst case, likely case, best case scenario. And we are now running ahead about 40 to 50%, depending on where you take it, ahead of the best case scenario.
Yeah.
And Tiny Tap, take that bar, on Friday night, Saturday night, any one of those nights, it does better that night than the entire week on the facility, on the location on Montrose and Lincoln.
Yeah.
And 11. So, and that's true about City Winery as well. And so people now totally orient themselves to the river, and it's totally taken off, and it's been a great part of now a whole new, what I envisioned once was a recreational park for the city, yeah. And that's what it's become.
Yeah, it's become like a great first impression for people when they visit Chicago. You know, they come down there, they want to take the architectural tours that they see.
Right. Like,
what's going on down
so,
here?
Dean, I'll tell you, so 3 weeks ago, and my son's in for the summer. He's at college, UCLA. And we are having a, he and I are just having a great summer together. So I said, look, before we're home, we're going to meet Amy, my wife, and my daughter in Chinatown. I said, I'm a little early. I don't want to go all the way down there. I said, why don't you meet me at the Riverwalk? He said, I'm getting done working. I'll meet you down. We're sitting together at Tiny Tap. And there's a couple right next to it. It's totally jammed. And it's two women from Manchester, England. And they were asking us, they said, this is the most, and they're sitting there on the swing. Is it like this? I said, 3 years ago, this did not exist.
Yeah.
You have, and they were just totally taken. And the other, there was a couple tables down with people from, I forgot what city in Canada they were from.
Yeah.
And it's not only for visitors, but for Chicagoans,
right.
Year-round we now get to enjoy something that never existed.
And you know what it does, you know, for the investment in real estate for people
mm-hmm.
who live downtown, who are establishing businesses, downtown, it's just win.
My prediction, I'm going to say 5 years out, people are going to say, no, it's on the, let's go to the restaurant, it's on the North Bank. We're going to get now South Bank, North Bank.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's been a zero money, and it's produced multiple billions of dollars of private development. Largest Chinese investment in America, the Wanda. You have the Apple Store, which is only going to appear in five cities across the globe.
Right.
You have two new office buildings. You have four new residential properties just on the river. Just since we made this investment, things that were never, and that's just the beginning part of it.
Right, right. I remember it was shortly after you first took office. It was at some theater, some arts thing
yeah.
that was going on. And, you know, I asked you about what your commitment was to the arts in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, you've got a lot of heavy stuff on your plate
mm-hmm.
Also, but. You know, I was asking you about the arts in Chicago, and you know, gave me what you would expect any new mayor to tell anybody in the beginning. But you really, you've kind of put your money where, limited money, where your mouth is with Theater District, with the James Beard Awards coming
yeah.
here. I mean, that whole profile of people enjoying Chicago, recreating in Chicago, has changed quite a bit.
Okay, so when I got elected, I sat with Mayor Bloomberg, and I'm mayor-elect. I said, tell me the one, don't tell me about schools or what, tell me one thing I hadn't thought of. He said, tourism. I thought, what? He goes, tourism. And he told me what they did. That's why we set out our first goal. And I went back and then studied it. And we were basically a business traveler city built around McCormick Place. We were at 39 million visitors, and given all the challenge.
Right.
So I said, okay, and then my first budget, we created a consolidated plan around Choose. We put the money towards advertising, started bringing sporting events in, started building up the culinary kind of just from a marketing standpoint because they had it already. And we last year crossed from 39 to 54 million visitors, 18,000 new jobs in Chicago just in the hospitality. And what I've been trying to do through sports, culinary, you just Bon Appetit just called Chicago the restaurant city
right.
2017 Condé
yeah.
Nast a month ago
right.
best restaurant city in America replacing LA is Chicago. You have just had Major League Soccer All-Star Game right here in Chicago. We have the NFL Draft, and that is building up. And then you start doing the separation of the bike and running path on the lakefront. The end of this month, we're going to open up the theater on the lake as a year-round facility. And I just rode by it yesterday. It's going to knock your socks off. The Riverwalk. The theater, as you said, throughout not just our theater district, in our neighborhoods. And also then the dancing and music with Lollapalooza going an additional night. And Pitchfork, Chicago as a cultural entertainment destination. And as we first talked about it, Dean, the Friday night flights on the microbreweries is all part of that same plan,
right,
where people now know, you know, I want to go there in the summer, or I want to move there, or when I come out of college, that's where I want to start my career.
Yeah.
Because of quality of life, the entertainment, the culture, it's just a pure enjoyment. Chicago is just a fun city.
Yeah. Do you get any blowback at all from people who say the city has so many problems, serious financial problems?
Sure.
Should the money that you're putting into some of these things be going to school? Should they be going to...
Yeah, well, first of all, let me slightly... The definition or description of Chicago having a financial challenge is, I wouldn't say a thing of the past, but it's not descriptive of where we are today. We have definitely, which is why we got upgraded by the financial S&P and Fitch, and we have a lot more work ahead of us, but we are not where we were 5-6 years ago. Second is, I don't think it's an either-or choice. And what I mean by that is, we now have, just take what we were talking about, 18,000 new jobs in the hospitality industry. That's a lot of 54 million visitors. That's a lot of economic growth, which then gives the Chicago, through the amusement tax, the sales tax, the revenue to invest in after-school, summer jobs, which we would never have. We now have 31,000 kids in summer jobs, and when I got elected, it was 14,000. Now, why is that? Because, A, a lot more people are going to work, a lot more economic activity and job creation. That's part of solving our violence and crime issue. And B, that economic growth and job creation gives us the revenue to invest in our kids having activities. And the truth is also on schools. Last week, new data, Chicago's leading the state of Illinois in reading and math gains. Two-thirds of our kids are reading at or exceeding national standards.
Mm.
So I don't really buy, I've never did buy the premise that if you have all these strengths, don't invest in them.
Yeah.
You have to invest in your strengths, build them up so they're really powerhouse, take your challenges and make them real opportunities. And that's what we're doing. And we're in the middle of the process doing it.
Well, just on a somewhat related note, you know, I go to events now on red carpets and huge public events that we have in Chicago like we've never seen before, but also unprecedented security. Bomb-sniffing dogs, police with what look like assault weapons. I'm not that up on weaponry, but...
That's a good thing that you're not.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be.
I'm kind of happy about it, but, clearly there are new priorities for the city to maintain safety. The event that we saw in Charlottesville, you know, maybe kind of underlines that you and the Chicago Police and the Office of Emergency Management, you all have new priorities now, don't you, of keeping the city safe?
Well, let me say this. We're a global city, world-class city, an international city. That has, as you can see around the world today in the last 10 years, that has different responsibilities given different events and things that are happening that you wouldn't have thought about not just 10 years ago, 20 years ago, etc. And our job, you're doing this interview with me, this weekend is our air and water show in Chicago. I just had a security meeting in my office. We're thinking of things and preparing in ways that 15, 20 years ago we wouldn't have done.
Right.
And that's, you're a global city, you got to do that. And that's part, now the good news is I'm not going to stop the city from enjoying Gourmet Chicago, James Beard Award, or our Chicago Film Festival, or our theater festival. That's what we want. With that, though, comes the responsibility that we do things differently than was done 10 years ago. Now, on a separate note about Charlottesville is, you know, my first real political act, just as a 16-year-old, not doing something my parents took me to, was when I decided, even though the neo-Nazis were not going to demonstrate in Skokie, I was going to follow them to Marquette Park and make sure that they knew that their voice of hatred was going to be confronted with a different voice. And I am so proud of the individuals in Virginia that came to challenge the voices of hatred. Those are the real Americans who spoke up for American values, and all of us should hold them up as the people that not only exercise their right as citizens, but they exercise their citizenship of what it means to be an American.
Yeah. I never knew that.
Never?
I never knew that you were politically active as a teenager.
I wasn't. I mean, I was.
I didn't know the teenage rum vibe, but I'm not surprised.
The truth is, my mother always, my mother and father were very differently politically active, but they took us. And I remember when the Nazis were thinking about marching in Skokie, and it was a whole big issue, went to court, as you remember. They decided to take the march not in Skokie, but go to Market Park. Right. And I told my parents then, I'm going to go down to Market Park. My dad and mom thought I was crazy. And I said, no, just because they're not in our neighborhood doesn't mean you don't say something.
Right.
Wherever their hatred is spewed, you must confront it. And that was my first kind of individual, politically conscious act. And the people in Virginia who said, not here, not at a university town, not anywhere, will hatred have an open space.
Right.
It will be confronted by those who do not believe in your bigotry, your xenophobia, your homophobia, your anti-Semitism, your racism. It does not belong here, ever. Those are real people. Those are the people we should hold up.
Yeah. So, talked about this is, this is kind of your bar.
Yeah.
When you come here, you're being very mayoral and just having a glass of water here today.
Yes.
But typically, if you came in here, with your wife, the date night, what would you order?
Well, first of all, so you got to look up. They have the standards up here. There's a couple, obviously, I love Two Brothers that they have, okay?
Yeah.
I do like also Fat Tire. I love Haymarket. There's obviously Lagunitas. You can see it right there. But then they say, and those are the bottles, and then you got all the cans here. So then I'll say to them, I said, what do we have on tap? And if they, they said, what do you want? And I'll say, I usually like an IPA. But sometimes I get amber, and they'll bring over a couple little things from shots for me to try. And then I'll say, okay. And then I'll say, they said, you want food? And I said, no. And then I start to look down the bar, and I say, okay, give me the menu again.
Yeah.
And so I'll just, have something like that. So they got the Two Brothers up there.
See, you're more of a microbrew guy, because I also see Schlitz up there.
Yeah, that's not.
I think I see hams.
But I'll always say to them, you got anything new that I haven't tried recently?
Yeah.
And then they'll.
Yeah. You a pool player?
I claim a disability. I suck.